Public hearing on Senate Bill 710.
Certainly, Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 710 is a bill that has come to you from the directly from the Senate Business and Labor Committee. It has not been to the floor of the chamber yet, but they did make a recommendation that you do pass with amendments. The essential measure has to do with building codes, and the core issue in the measure is to establish a regional approach to administering building codes throughout the state. The idea is to have some consistent code interpretation, work with the local folks in dispute resolution and the local enforcement of the construction laws. There are a couple of elements that provide some of the background information here. There's a staff measure summary from the Business and Labor Committee. And I also have for you a couple of items that we can get into if you'd like to get some input from the Department of Consumer and Business Services on what the measure would do, and then we can talk about the two sets of amendments that I have provided you.
That would be great. Let's have them come on up.
Morning.
Welcome.
For the record, Mark Long, Administrator of Building Codes. Good morning, committee. I'm here before you to talk about Senate Bill 710. You may recall we had our budget before you earlier this year, and this bill was not part of the budget. It's not part of the governor's budget, but and therefore we're neutral on the bill. This bill is part of a package of bills that came out of Senate business, moved through the House. The 700 series, you may have heard about them, dealing with streamlining the construction and building codes regulatory system. This is the last bill in that series. What this bill does is really expand on the work that was carried out back in 99 through Senate Bill 512, where we created the Regional Tri-County Service Center. Some of you may remember that. I know Representative Hansen would. What this bill does is take the good things from that bill, focusing on consistent interpretation, consistent enforcement, and local program assistance, and carries it out statewide. Again, it's part of that package, and it's our hope that this bill, along with the other bills, will help with consistency in this state. If you look at the A and Gross bill, really the key language is in Section 11 on page 3. And it talks about having Building Codes Division through DCBS set up regions to make sure we develop statewide interpretations so our contractors can be assured that the interpretation of the code they get in one place is the same in the next. We have uniform application and processes administration of the code. And that we resolve disputes of the code through these regions. That's what the bill's about. I'd be happy to answer any questions. You do have A4s and A7s. I'm not sure you need the A4s anymore because of the conflict amendments, but I'd need to double-check on that, and I can work with staff. The A7s are conflict amendments because earlier we worked on Senate Bill 906, which eliminated the Tri-County Board, and the A7s kind of work out the conflicts between how 906 approached that issue and how Senate Bill 710 approached that issue. Okay? I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Any response to the idea that we don't need A4?
Mr. Chair, yes. After going through the dash A7s and these were expedited through legislative council, but we did receive them this morning, and I was able to fax them to Mark so he could take a look at them, as well as Scott Harrow, who's here from the department, the budget manager. I believe the A4s are still needed because the dash A7 amendments, which are designed principally to resolve conflicts. It also provides expenditure limitation to the agency, and I can go into that in a little more detail in a moment. But it does not make reference to a repeal of the section of law that is being amended by the A4s in either 910 or, 906 or in 710.
Right.
And so you'd end up with two different occurrences of language. And if both went into law. And so then the force of law is whichever one is enacted last controls. In this case, we can make it match now. and avoid that decision point. Essentially, what the Dash A4 does is, again, conform to the language that's currently in enrolled Senate Bill 906, and it clarifies the current makes in statute the current practice of the use of the surcharge that is collected under this particular section of law. So it makes those two match.
Mr. Chair, we're comfortable both ways. I'm sure legislative council will. They'll have to bring the both amendments together anyway, and they'll take care of that.
Correct.
Yeah.
The other element of the A7s, which again were are largely to resolve the conflicts between the two bills, it provides the expenditure limitation to the agency to implement the provisions of Senate Bill 710 with the regional program. The agency had indicated that it would require additional staff for this purpose, and in the because of the operative date of July 1, 2004, that the three positions would be a 1.5 FTE. They estimate the biennial costs for the 2003-05 biennium to be $203,988 for that regionalization. And also in Senate Bill 710 is an additional or an extension of the current 1% surcharge that's levied on building permits that are issued in the Portland metropolitan, the Tri-County area. It would extend that surcharge statewide. That is anticipated to result in about $220,000 in the first biennium, which is the partial biennium, and $440,000 in 05-07, which are amounts that should cover the expenditures that are anticipated. So the A7 amendments, again, also include that expenditure limitation increase for the current biennium, and that amends their budget bill, enrolled House Bill 5011.
Do you want to deal with that issue?
Yes, I would. Thank you for bringing that up. After review of the A7 amendments by Scott Hara from the department, and again from the budget management standpoint, because of the language that's already in House Bill 5011, the agency, as you know, is a very large one. It has a number of program areas, and the funds are limited in a single bill. So the definition, the description of the use of the funds or the sources of the funds, the language is such that starting on line 11 of page 1 of the A7 amendments, after the amount there of $203,988, the suggestion is that that have a period after the number, delete the rest of the line, and then delete lines 12 and 13, because it confuses the issue on the use of the funds that the agency already has authority for, including specific federal programs. So just from a linguistic standpoint, this would create some confusion on the use of the monies. So it's not needed, and it would make it more clear and more straightforward by not being there.
Okay. Any questions about that? Very good. Representative Hanson.
Should we be proposing that as a conceptual amendment?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hanson, yes. On my memo to the subcommittee, on the second page, I do have the suggested motions that if you want to move forward with implementing this regional program that the bill creates, that going through this series of motions would accomplish that.
Okay. Any further questions for Mark? Yes, Senator Forrest.
Just a matter of clarification, how do these regional administrative regions, how do they interface with local municipalities? Just as a clarification.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, just to kind of give you an overview, right now we have 130 jurisdictions statewide throughout, and it's a combination of city-county jurisdictions. What we would do at the division is set up areas that have commonality. We've done that in the Tri-County area with the 27 jurisdictions that are in that denser area, Mid-Valley, Southern Oregon, Eastern Oregon. And the purpose is to have our staff and have presence out in these areas so that we can help the contractors and the local jurisdictions resolve their disputes, their code interpretations, and their local program assistance and enforcement. So it's just it doesn't change any boundary areas or anything like that. It's just it provides focus areas for us to communicate with and bring people together, and that's kind of what we did up in Tri-County. We found that as we got the building officials together, the inspectors together, in regions, talked about issues that impacted similar contractors working in those areas, that we got greater levels of consistency. So I don't want to say it's an overlay because it doesn't replace any bureaucratic or any jurisdictional boundaries. It just provides focus to particular areas, and that's really what the purpose is. And that's why we ask for the staff, because, frankly, I don't, when you're trying to oversee, I think I have 40,000 workers and contractors that I license and I work with, and I have 130 jurisdictions with thousands of inspectors. It's awfully hard to do that out of Salem, is what we found. And so we got to get our people out in the local areas to do it. Hope that answers your question.
One of the things that I consistently hear as an impediment it creates barriers for projects and getting things done is the particular biases of municipalities and how they interpret things. And does this, or do you have the, by statute, the authority to make a ruling that overrides a local building official?
Mr. Chair,
in this process?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, I have two levels of authority. Right now I have what I call reactive authority, okay, which is when there's a dispute or a complaint, folks can come to us, but the problem's already occurred. And you're trying to clean up a mess, let's be frank about that. What this bill does is provide what I call proactive authority. It allows me to work in these areas ahead of time and resolve problems before you have a project held up and say, all right, here's the standards we're going to operate with in these areas. And you all are familiar with them. You have our local people who can make those decisions on the ground floor, so to speak, and you deal with it ahead of time. And that's what this brings to me is that proactive authority. I already have the reactive side, which works, okay, and we got that in 99. But this gives me the proactive side, and that's what's important to me because I think it's better to head these things off than by the time you have a job held up, time is money, and you go through a bunch of process and it takes you 3 or 4 days to get a decision. It just doesn't do anybody any good at that point.
Any further questions? Sounds thanks a lot.
You bet.
Particularly thanks for trying to make this system work better because, if we're going to be encouraging people to do things in Oregon to create jobs, we want to make that process as seamless and efficient as possible.
Well, Mr. Chair, we're very proud of the bills, the 700 series of bills and the things that they're due, and we hope that they're a springboard for future discussions.
The other day someone asked me a question about what good things have happened. And I had to stop for a minute, and then the first thing that came to my mind was this process right here. But I think this may have a major boost to at least allowing things that are going to occur efficiently.
Yeah. We appreciate the support of the local government coming to the table, mm-hmm. the industry folks that are here. We're looking at a different way to do this and get these processes moving. We think
Thanks
it's going to work.
We're still in the public hearing. We're still waiting to get our quorum numbers up. And so is there anyone else who would like to speak to the bill? We have folks that have been working on this. And come on up. I'm not asking you to stall and delay, but I sure would like to hear your opinion.
We can sing a little.
You can sing. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, for the record, my name is Jared Broadfoot with PacWest Communications, here today representing the Oregon Building and Construction Trades Council, the National Electrical Contractors Association, Plumbing and Mechanical Contractors Association, and Sheet Metal Air Conditioning Contractors Association. I could go on a couple more clients, but if you want me to stall, I could. Senate Bill 710, we are very supportive of Senate Bill 710. As Mark said, that we have pushed through a streamlining package this session, which is very proactive, which we firmly believe that will attract business to Oregon and keep business in Oregon. This is the final bill, and to tell you the truth, personally, this bill getting in a public hearing and work session is like the birth of a child. That's how long it's been that we've been working on it. So so it's been quite a process, and we're very thankful for the intent to move it today. This bill really puts the final stamp of approval on the Oregon's open for business. So I'll turn it over to Bert, and I can answer any questions, but it's a good bill, should pass. So.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Burton Wiest. I'm here on behalf of the plumbing, heating, cooling contractors and the air conditioning contractors of America. And I'm also pleased to support this bill. One very quick history note. We were one of the co-sponsors, all of us, of the original bill that set up the Metro Board, and it was an experiment. And quite honestly, we had opposition from, at that time, the home builders. We had opposition from the building officials and others who thought this was just going to be another bureaucratic mess and one more board to go through. Within the first 9 months, they had adopted a standard building permit application form in the metro area. Cannot describe to you what it's like. A typical plumbing contractor has one person, even though they're a four-person shop. Gary, or Representative Hansen, excuse me, knows this, they'll have one person on staff who does nothing but sort building permits, sort plumbing permits out, or electrical permits, or whatever it is. And this bill, and because we created this group, because we created a regional approach, we were able to get one standard building application form that's the same in all 27 jurisdictions. You can fax them from anywhere. The economies we got were amazing, and now we have the support of the building officials, we have the support of the home builders, we have the support of all the folks who thought this was going to be a bureaucracy, and because instead it turned out to cut through bureaucracy. When we discussed in the interim this series of bills, one of the issues was, do we recreate the exact process in the metro area where we had an actual board appointed to oversee this? And we decided that really wasn't necessary. All we really needed to do was, frankly, to get the building code division staff out of Salem, get them out where the people are working, and then have them take the work of the metro area and apply it in the other regions of the state. And I'm pleased to say that we have, as far as I know, no opponents to this bill. We have the support of the cities, and it's gratifying because they're all in support of this effort, because the bottom line is the cities, too. Everyone wants economic development. They want stuff to work more efficiently. So that little bit of history, we're very much supportive of this bill and hope you'll pass it out.
Any questions?
Well, not really a question, just a comment. I think the Tri-County Board has worked very well. That streamlining is just amazing. And for an example, one of the problems that drove you nuts with Multnomah County was, if you were on the west slope in Multnomah County, but on the west slope of the West Hills, you were in the Washington County Unified Sewage Agency, because that's
the
direction of downhill. But you were still in Multnomah County. And the sequence of permitting changed dramatically because, and I forget now which way it was going, but for a contractor, instead of getting their sewer permit first, which they did in Washington County, in Multnomah County, you had to have the soil and erosion permits all in place before you could get this. So it created, just the way that they got their permit was completely different, the sequence of the permitting. And I have the pleasure to deal with the contractors after they went to Washington County and then went to Multnomah County and were told that the sequence was wrong, that no, you should be doing it the other way around. And that's when they would get angry and real red in the face. And it wasn't a huge problem. It was just in terms of being able to solve. But by getting not just the same permit form, but similar sequencing, just cuts down a lot of unnecessary aggravation and waste of time. And if that can spread to other areas, I know that there are other areas of the state that there are individual problems like that, that if they can be addressed will make it that much easier to do the same thing. And then the proactiveness on the consistency of the building code decisions. If you're in the field and you're working and an inspector makes the wrong decision or the wrong interpretation, or even if it's just different than what's going on in the neighboring jurisdiction, yeah, you can go through an appeal process, but it's a whole lot easier and quicker to just do it the other way and get the inspector off your back and move forward. So the situations don't really get resolved and you don't get that consistency. So the problem just malinger on and on. But if you can proactively get this consistency before it's actually applied to a job, then you've really improved the efficiency of it. So I'm real pleased to see this moving statewide. And I think it'll benefit everybody.
Well, Representative Hanson, I think you're exactly right. We've all in this committee, particularly those of us who have either done construction or those of us who have observed it or had to stage projects, understand that anything that causes a delay, a reduction, or forcing something out of sequence for a particularly construction project, up go the cost, somebody's going to pay. And particularly where we have so many projects ourselves that are going on, so many things that we would like to see happen in the local area, to streamline those things may in fact give us an opportunity for some significant savings of just not having people standing by way because no one understood, as you were talking about, the two conflicting jurisdictions' interpretation of what's supposed to happen. So,
okay, we are attempting to locate.
We are attempting.
Another senator.
Okay, you want to go ahead and finish your list? No, I
can't. Yeah.
The committee will stand at ease until we achieve a quorum.
Yeah, and we actually, before you do that,
okay.
Mr. Chair, if I could offer up that we have had a hallway discussion between Legislative Council and the department, and the suggestion that I had described to you on the conflict amendments in the expenditure limitation part of the dash A7s, the issue has to do with putting an expenditure limitation in a substantive bill has to conform to a certain standard. And if we were to take that suggested language at the end of that paragraph out, it would create some difficulties. So we've discussed it, and I'm going to paraphrase this, and either one of them can leap in and correct me, that we would leave the entire paragraph intact, but after the dollar figure, we would insert that period and then indicate also that the increase in the expenditure limitation created by this section is, and continue the section, for the purpose of establishing and administering the building code program. So for constitutional reasons, there has to be a direct linkage between the program that's being funded by either an appropriation or expenditure limitation in a substantive bill. So that sentence gives them that linkage.
Has anyone taken a look at schedules? Should we recess until all time this afternoon? And
well, the Senate goes in at 10:45 again.
Mm-hmm.
if I don't know about the members' availability this afternoon, I believe the Human Services Subcommittee is meeting at 3 or 3:30, and so we do have overlap with Senators Morris and Carter.
What was that?
He'll be gone.
Okay. And we're not going to have Representative Smith here, correct? He's okay.
Correct.
He's
poor.
All right.
I'll leave it up to you all. On your.
No,
we're trying to find Senator Frater as well. I don't believe he doesn't have quite that same authority.
Right. That was my understanding.
Yeah.
Shall we stand at ease then for 5 minutes?
Okay. Come on.
Well, let's do it again. Let's do it officially. I'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 710. Representative Hansen.
Chair, I would recommend the subcommittee adopt the -4 amendments to Senate Bill 710.
Okay. Representative Hansen has moved that the subcommittee adopt the -4 amendments to Senate Bill 710. Are there any further discussion? If not, without objection, seeing or none. Thank you.
Move subcommittee adopt the -. Okay, we need to modify the.
Yes, going to modify.
Yes, Mr. Chair, if I could just restate that then for the record. On the -A7 amendment, that after, on page 1, line 11, after the figure $203,988, insert a period, and then insert words to the effect, I'll let Legislative Council craft them, the increase in expenditure limitation in this section is, and then the rest of the sentence would read, for the purpose of establishing and administering the building code administrative system, region system, under Section 11, so that it clarifies what the use of the funding is, and that would be the recommendation on amending the -A7.
And that will be taken care of before it goes to full committee.
Exactly. Because of the A4 amendments, everything will be rolled into a single one, and that will be accomplished at the same time.
We'll have that for us.
That's my motion, and she said it exactly as I wanted it.
And we're sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any further discussion? We have the understanding that this will be in proper order before it goes to the full committee, and everyone's heard the motion on the modification of the -7 amendments. Any further comments or questions? Then without objection, approval. Seeing and hearing none.
So Senate Bill 710A to the Full Ways and Means Committee with Duke S as amended recommendation.
Representative Hansen has moved Senate Bill 710 to the Full Ways and Committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any further comments, questions, without objection?
Did we resolve all of this?
In essence,
yeah. That's what I mean. Okay. Without objection. Seeing and hearing none. So moved.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right. The Senate Subcommittee on the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development is adjourned.